exactly about my message. And I thought, well, this message, every song's going to be about my message. But, like, the Holy Spirit pegged it with that song. And you'll see as we go along. It's like, wow, it just, like, really brought home the simplicity that is in Christ and what the gospel is. And so let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. This is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we will just rejoice in our spirits. And we're available for you. This time is yours. The worship, the message which you have us to hear, the fellowship. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, are you available this morning? This is a pastor at the retreat. We have pastor's meetings. He said he asked his congregation this. Are you available this morning? Are you available? Available to be refreshed by the word? Like, isn't that a good question for ourselves? Like, when you crack your Bible, do you say that to yourself? Do you say when you worship, bless the Lord, oh my soul? You know, like, hey, like, it's time to bless the Lord. It's time to hear something from God. Like, we came here for that, right? Available to hear, available to be used by God. I was actually thinking about that with a lot of people missing. I was thinking, we're missing. Like, we don't realize that when we don't show up, the body doesn't have our portion. The gifts, every one of us has at least one, is given for the edification of the body, right? So when we are missing, something's missing. You know, it's like we have a portion. And but God is good. And so I did something a little different. It took me a lot longer than I thought. I ran across this verse, and it was like, Jesus, who is da-da-da-da. It's like, I'm going to do a search on the word who, and everywhere it talks about God, I'm going to, like, meditate on it, you know. And there's a lot of who's, a lot of bad people, a lot of good people, and a lot about God that has the word who. But I just took a few of them. I just started down, and then God began to minister to me, and I'll share that with you. It's not exhaustive either, because just because it doesn't say the word who doesn't mean there's not a description of Christ, right? It's like, behold the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God, but it doesn't say who is the Lamb of God. You know, so this is, you know, sometimes we look at something this way, and then we'll look at it this way, and then we'll look at it this way. Like different perspectives on something, right? A little here, a little there, a little precept upon precept. And like one of the things Pastor Schaller said that it hit me. I was like, yeah, that's how I learned. Like the Greeks, they want an outline. They want a 1, 2, 3, right? And they say, this is how you preach a sermon. You give an introduction, you have 3 points, give an analysis, an application, and then benediction, you know, like you have to do it this way. But the Jewish people, they do this, and then they circle around, and the circles overlap, and then they overlap, and then they come back here. And it's like, as you wake up, as you walk by the way, when you lie down, they're teaching little bits, and they're reinforcing some of the things they've already taught, and we're relearning them in a new and fresh way as we walk. And so anyway, just try to receive whatever God has for you, you know. And first one's Matthew 1:16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. He's called the Christ. That's the Messiah, the anointed one. The one who was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So King of the Jews. And all the prophecies concerning Jesus as King of the Jews will be fulfilled. Right? God is not slack concerning his promises. They haven't all been fulfilled yet. He is still King of the Jews. And he will return and reign out of Jerusalem. And wise men from the east saw the star and came to worship him. Why? Because he was King of the Jews. So the term a Christian anti-Semite is an oxymoron. You're not following God if you're an anti-Semite. Like, he was Jewish. The early church was Jewish. He's King of the Jews. He's coming back. He's going to rule out of Jerusalem. And I know we've heard this, but there's so much in the air nowadays. There's another message that's coming in that's being piped in over and over and over. We need to hear it over and over and over. And this is the word of God, right? Who is he? Who? Matthew 2:6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. A ruler, a shepherd, the one who was prophesied about. Remember, Bethlehem appears over and over. Ruth, David, Joseph. They went back for the census. It was prophesied about. Matthew 3:11. He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. So John the Baptist came proclaiming the way, and then he came after him, right? And John the Baptist was revered and had the spirit of Elijah, and Jesus is far greater, far greater. There's one. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he's in the secret place. This is one of the doctrines of the Bible, right? There's a place that's spiritual, that you enter in the spirit. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, right? Remember Pastor Julian's message? How could you forget, like with the short blanket? The covering, we need a covering. The shadow of the Almighty is a covering. The sun is hot in the desert. Anybody been out in the sun this week and stepped over into the shadow? Did you step into the shade? It felt so good. It was like, how could it be so different here and here? Like, it's so much cooler in the shade, you know? Just a little bit of shade. When it gets that hot, you need a covering, right? And we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty in the secret place. And so he's in secret, in a secret place. And who can't find the secret place? The world, the flesh, and the devil. They don't know where it is. But we do. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He knows our heart. All the secret things of our heart. That's kind of scary in a way, right? But another way, like, when we don't get rewarded, when we don't get noticed, when we cry out, why do the wicked prosper like David did? You know, like, how come things aren't going our way when we're trying to follow God? You know, like, God sees us and he knows our heart. And he's got bigger things in store for those of faith. Like, in Hebrews 11, it talks about those who are sawn in two, fed to lions, who wandered around destitute, of whom the world was not worthy. He wrote Hebrews 11. He sees them, and they have a great reward, right? He sees them, and he sees us. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I had somebody, I can't remember who it was, recently say something like, we're not going to heaven Because heaven, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And I was like, yeah, I get what you mean. But actually, we are going to heaven because it says we're going to heaven. You know, like, we go, where Jesus is our heaven, right? He's going to make a new heaven and earth, and he's going to bring that heaven down to the earth, or the new heaven and new earth. But where is he? Jesus said he's going to go and prepare a place for us in his Father's house. Where's the Father? In heaven, right? And so where are we going? To heaven. This is actually one of the doctrines of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, God's just going to make the earth perfect and there is no heaven. And there's other doctrines that don't include a rapture where Jesus comes down and meets us in the air on his way down, and we like meet him and come back. We never make it to heaven. But he has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, right? And that's in heaven. And regardless, like, you know, we go to him, and then he makes the new heaven and the new earth, and the holy Jerusalem that's like a cubic the size of, like, from here to Indiana, like, and it's spiritual things that we don't quite grasp, but we do. And regardless of that, we go where he is, and we will always be with him. Comfort one another with these words. Like, that's awesome. Matthew 8:27. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, they were asking this question, and I got to thinking, like, it's only one of two people is the answer to that question, and it's probably only one, right? Satan can make lying signs and wonders. He's going to make signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, it says. He's going to deceive a lot. And in Job 1:19, with God's permission, he sent a big wind to blow down the house that Job's children were in. You know, isn't that wild that he allowed Satan to do that? In Revelation 13, the beast will make fire come from heaven. And this was before they had cloud seeding, you know, when they were asking this question, before that. Before stuff, 3D special effects that you see on the computer or TV or anything. And it's like, who? He can make even the winds and the waves obey him? And who can it be? And numerous passages talk about God controls the weather, and Jesus is God. Even the winds and the waves obey him. And then, it will be given to you in that hour that what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So, when the need arises, when you're dragged before judges, you have to say something, don't worry what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will speak in you, right? And I was thinking of that. There's a couple people in here who have had to go before judges, and they probably worried a little bit, you know? Did you get any taller? Get any taller by that? It says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, you can't add a cubit, whatever that is, of height to your stature. And so, do I look any taller than I did last week before? Because I did a lot of worrying, and I didn't grow at all. I didn't grow by worrying. We grow spiritually by trusting God, but I didn't grow by worrying. Somehow dumb me miscalculated the due date of the puppies, and I thought they were due Sunday, which sometimes they come a day or two early, and I'm all worried at convention, oh no, the puppies are coming, and I'm looking at my camera, are they here yet, you know, and should I leave early, the puppies, and then they're still not here, And I go back, I look at my calendar, I'm like, I wrote on my calendar when we bred, so let's see. And it's gone, it's missing from my calendar. So then I find the messages where I message, I'm going to bring the dog. And I'm looking it up, and I'm like, wait a minute, they're due today. Not last week. How did I do that? All this worrying, I didn't grow a bit. All that worrying. So, you know, if they drag you into court, like in India they're doing, probably in Canada they're doing, and they may do here one day, we don't have to worry about what we're going to say. The Holy Spirit will show us what to say, right? You know, like Paul said to King Agrippa, I wish that you were just like me except for my chains. You know, he's like telling King Agrippa like it is. Like, this is the real deal. And God gave him that. He who receives me receives him who sent me. So John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, right? He sent him. He sent him. And then Jesus sends us. And how did the Father send him? Was he already on his way to earth? Was he already becoming a human? No, he like sent him on a mission. He's like, go there and you're the Savior, right? With a purpose, on purpose, on the mission, to seek and save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. And John 4, did he really need to go through Samaria? He said, I need to go through Samaria. And he met the woman at the well. But they were going from Judah to Galilee, and they always went the other way. Like, everybody would go this way and just avoid Samaria. There's some mountains here, they'd go that way. But he said, I need to go through Samaria. Like, he intentionally went to meet that lady. And he went out of his way, because that's not the usual route. And he comes out of his way for us. And he sends us out of our way for other people. But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus told him, the Spirit of my Father revealed that to you. So it's true, the Spirit revealed him. So Muslims, they say God has no son. Well, the Spirit revealed to Peter, and Jesus confirmed it, that he's the Son of the living God. So they're liars. Don't listen to him. He does. His name is Jesus, and he's the Christ. The Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one prophesied in the Old Testament. And the Spirit revealed that to Peter. Now keep that in your mind, your mental mind, for a later verse we're going to see. But the Spirit revealed who Jesus Christ was to Peter. Here's a pretty pertinent question too. Who do you say that I am? You know, Pastor Schaller asked one time, if you had been born in a Hindu country, would you still be a Christian? If you brought up, your parents taught you this, and then somebody came along and told you about Jesus, did the Spirit tell you? Are you going to listen to the Spirit? Like, who do you say that I am? The world has lots of different answers who Jesus is, and they're not who the Spirit says. who do you say that I am? Listen to who the Holy Spirit says he is. Matthew 28:5, Jesus who was crucified. That's why I was loving that song. You know, I believe in this. Jesus, the Jehovah's Witness say he was killed on a pole, not on a cross. They literally say that. And all the historic evidence, you know, it was a cross. And not to mention the Bible that they've changed. And the definition of crucified is to put a person to death by nailing or binding to a cross. Why do they want to change it to a pole? because they're liars. Satan is the father of lies. It's another spirit. And then even the mockers tell him to come down off the cross because he's on a cross. So avoid the Jehovah's Witnesses and don't listen to their teaching. If they want to hear, that's different. Sometimes I'll come across some young ones that will actually, there's like a little crack in the door and they'll hear something. But if they want to talk, don't listen to them. It's just nonsense. And so studying is good, right? Study to show yourself approved. Like studying's good. In Ephesus, Paul went there for 3 years. Like they rented out a place and they studied all day. They had like a Bible college. You know, it's very good to study. And he was teaching them, but what did the church at Ephesus lose? They had teaching, they had doctrine, they had the teaching from Paul, but what did they lose? Their first love. They lost something very simple. They kept the doctrine, they kept the teaching, but they lost the first love. And maybe we can say today, I know they kept the doctrine, but they lost their first love, as we have lost our first love. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can even talk about love and lose our love. And maybe we can quote and analyze a lot of verses about love, the importance of love, but not be receiving God's love today or this moment. Like, moment by moment, we walk by faith. And moment by moment, we can receive from him. But we need to learn. We need to learn doctrine, or what happens? We get deceived. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul says, I didn't cease to warn you day and night about these false teachers that are going to come after I leave, right? Like, we need to know. So the church of Ephesus, they didn't get deceived, but they lost their first love. And so we have to always be like little children in faith. Like, when we worship, are we really singing to God? Like, you know, like a little child, like singing to God. Make up songs to God. It's like a little child. We can lose the simplicity. Jesus died on a cross. That's pretty simple. Right? Pretty simple. And we should love that. The old rugged cross, you know. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. It's not just a song. It's a motto for my life. But it's foolishness to the thinkers. The real thinkers, they study, they analyze. And we can do that. But the real thinkers can't grasp the simplicity, right? The Greeks, it's foolishness to the Greeks. And so we can be thinkers and maintain the simplicity, like keep the love, the simple love, and we need to guard our heart. So you think about love in a marriage can be very complicated. Sometimes we focus on minutia. And I always put the toilet seat down. But somebody could say, let's see, there's 12 steps to teach your husband how to put the toilet seat down. You know, like, let me focus on this. Let me hone in on this and study this. And forget about, we love him, you know. We love the guy who doesn't put the toilet seat down, you know. But I put the toilet seat down. I'm just using that as an example, you know. And but when it's in our heart, it's simple. It's just simple. Right? And it has reasons that reasons know nothing of. You know, the poems, a man says, I'll swim the widest ocean. I'll climb the highest mountain. I will die for you. And then we realize, like, wait a minute. That's like Christ. That's like Christ. And, like, we can appreciate that. It's so simple. It's so simple. And we need that. The simplicity is not looking at Christ and saying, you want me to do what? You know, it's looking at Christ in hearing, I will die for you. Like hearing him say that, like he loves me unconditionally. And it's like so simple, and I've said this before, but it's true. I have to remind myself, just let God love you. Let God love you today. Like it's so simple. And but the church of Ephesus got distracted with something that's also very important, right? With the correct teaching, the correct doctrine. But love is more important. But if we don't have doctrine, we can be led astray. So which is more important, reading the Bible or praying? Which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? You know, which is more important? Like, do we need teaching? Do we need sound doctrine? Do we need songs like that about the Trinity? Do we need that? And we need to love. We need to remember the simplicity, but we also need to remember sound doctrine, right? We need to not lose the doctrine, but also not lose our first love. We need both. Not lose the simplicity of the cross. It's very important. The gospel's so simple. 1 Corinthians 1:23. It says it's foolishness to the Greeks. And to find someone who has a doctorate in theology that's humble is very rare. You know, but it's possible. You know, I think Pastor Mikhail Toll might be the only one I know of. Like, he's very humble, and he's very intelligent. He knows all. I think he's got like 3 PhDs, but you wouldn't know it talking to him. Why is it so rare? Like, somebody that smart or that studied could also be humble. Because grace can be studied, but you need to experience it. To have it revealed to you by the Holy Spirit to understand it. Like, Peter had who Christ was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He could study who Jesus was, but until the Holy Spirit reveals that, like, you could study a lot of books on marriage and whatever, but if you haven't experienced the love, then you're missing something, right? And how about AI? AI can remember, if you tell it what you believe, it will remember what you believe so you don't forget. But there's obviously no spiritual understanding by AI, right? AI doesn't understand anything. It can spit out doctrine, but it doesn't have any understanding. The natural man cannot understand the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:15. That's pretty wild. You could study the Bible till you're blue in the face, like the Pharisees, and not know God. And yet you could be illiterate, unlearned fishermen who can know in a different way, in a higher way than the Pharisees ever knew, because they've been with Jesus. An illiterate, unlearned Iranian person in prison for her faith, she can have a very, very deep understanding of Romans 5:5, the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, because her hope is only in God and nothing else. She can understand that like no mind could possibly understand. We can go through and say, go through Romans, go read Romans 1, 5, 1 to 5. It's very good. But when you get to Romans 5, 5, you can only understand that verse spiritually by having the love of God poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Like, yeah, I know in a different way. So let's be humble and receiving like a child, and don't miss the forest of love for the trees. And why argue about a Jehovah's Witness about a pole when the Bible says it's a cross? Titus 3:9. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning beyond being self-condemned. So what is the gospel but that Jesus, he died, he was buried, and he rose again? Simple, right? Yet, it's the power of God to salvation to those who believe. Powerful. Simple, yet powerful. Like beyond, it takes you to another level above a superficial understanding. Mark 16:16. This is the angel at the tomb. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Once again, don't listen to Jehovah's Witnesses. He was crucified. And, or Jehovah's Witnesses or Muslims, he was risen. Right? He's risen. Wasn't that part of that song? That simple song? Like, I believe in the resurrection. And then Luke 2:11, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Pretty simple. We have a Savior. A Savior from what? You know, sometimes if you talk to somebody about Jesus, maybe don't say, are you saved? They'll be like, from what? What are you talking about? Or don't say, are you born again? They'd be like, what are you talking about? You know, but actually the Holy Spirit could lead you to say something crazy. You know, you could say anything and the Holy Spirit tells you to. But just generally speaking, like the response you get from an unbeliever might be like, what are you talking about? Savior from what? But then also, So pretty simple. It's sin and death. Savior from sin and death. John 3:17-18. For God did not send his son. There it is again. He sent his son. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Or as Pastor Michal was talking about last week, he did not send him to show how to be good. He didn't send him to show us how to be good. He sent him to save us. Simple. He's a Savior. He didn't send him to give us a spiritual reset. Okay, I've forgiven you. Now you're everything's reset. Now you be good. You know? He sent him to forgive us. And then we can live in that, in his forgiveness. That's our identity, to save us. And the rest of the verse says, he who believes in him is not condemned. Pretty simple. Believe in him. The it's got an object. Believe in what? Him. Jesus. The object is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. And so, simple, believe in the Son. Like, maybe we won't go up, maybe we will, but maybe we won't say, are you saved? Are you born again? But what? Maybe if you say, do you know Jesus? The answer you get will surprise you. It might not be what you're thinking. Sometimes it's like, oh, yes, and they know Jesus. But if they don't know Jesus and they say, oh, yes, we know Jesus, it's something different. This is what the demon said. Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the demons know who Jesus is. And they know who we are too, right? The seven sons of Sceva, they're like, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? You know, like Paul trusted Jesus. When we trust Jesus, even the demons know us too because we're about him. We have the Holy Spirit. When we're living in our identity as forgiven, I'm a forgiven one. That's the holiness. Pastor Michal was talking about that last week. That's being holy, is understanding we're forgiven. They recognize us too. This is a quote from Pastor Michal. I think I wrote it down with his name. Holiness is not that I am better or I can do good, but that I am forgiven. And this could be a whole message on the holiness of God for like 12 weeks. Isaiah 6 and this, and you know, it's so deep and so powerful, but who is Jesus? The Holy One of God. He's set apart. He's holy. Okay. In closing, well, Pastor Julian touched it when he was talking about coverings. He says one of the coverings is total forgiveness. That's exactly what Pastor Michal was talking about. One of the coverings is total forgiveness. He said you can't experience unless you put on the covering of forgiveness. And I would say put on the new man, who you are in Christ. Forgiven, right? And we are called saints. Many of the epistles start with saints. You're the saints. You're the separate ones. You're the holy ones. And the woman with the alabaster flask wiping Jesus' feet with her hair with the fragrant perfume, Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And they said, who can forgive sins? And then Mark 2, also, the guy let down through the roof. He said, "Who? Your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins but God?" And the answer to that is nobody. He is God. And there's a lot of other verses on that too. Romans 10:3, they, talking about Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And actually, that's part of submitting to him, is not thinking we have some goodness or righteousness of our own, but submitting to his forgiveness. We live in his identity. We're submitting that we're receiving. It takes humility to receive. And so, like, we can only come through the narrow gate. In order to do that, we have to submit that there's only one way, and it ain't my way. He's the way. Jesus is the gate. He's the way. A thief comes in another way, but I'm forgiven. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I love these old songs like that. Like, I don't have anything to bring to God. I'm clinging to the cross. That's my identity. My identity is the cross. And this simple message should always be preached. Paul said, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. And I love it too. There's a certain individual in the church that if I preach something that they don't, could be understand one of two ways, they come and ask me, they're like, hey, you're not preaching you can be saved some other way than by grace through faith, are you? And I'm like, no. But that's good. They're like checking that. They're like, and so in this message, like we heard it last month or the month before or the month before that, and again and again and again, and we hear it in our heart, like, we need to love God, right? We need to receive the love from God. We hear it. But if it begins to bore us, which it can, we get distracted with many other things, studying this and studying that, and forget this simplicity. We need to check our heart, right? Guard your heart, for out of it springs the issues of life. Because it's Christ, it's Christ, it's Christ. Right? I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the Father and the Son who died and paid for my sins. I believe in the resurrection. And 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. But I fear. This is a godly fear that he had. Paul actually feared something. Lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And get us distracted. Get us over here. Our minds are over here. When the simplicity is here. You know? We can get distracted with worries, with different things. And it's so simple, just trusting in Him in the secret place, under the shadow of the Almighty, like from the sun, from the heat. When the heat is on, we trust in Him. We got a secret place, and there's a shadow that keeps us cool. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom you have not preached, the virgin birth, sinless, crucified on a cross, buried, rose again, if they come preaching another Jesus, or if you receive a different spirit, it's not pointing to Jesus, which you have not received, or a different gospel, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace through faith you have been saved. Right? A different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. We may well put up with it. If somebody comes and snuggles up, I've actually met pastors, and they're all nice and such good people, and they're just talking about Jesus taught us how to live good lives. And that's it. That's the message. It's not the cross. And that actually, who's that the focus on? Jesus taught us how to live good lives. They're saying it, the focus is on Jesus, but it's really on me, right? If I'm forgiven, the focus is on Jesus. To God be the glory. And then, remember I told you, remember this. Well, not this, the next one. But this one here. So Jesus is talking to the religious experts. So somebody might come in here who's got a 3 PhDs and something, and he's an expert. And he's going to show you how it is. And then maybe not point us to Jesus. Then they're not an expert, right? Like the person who was like beaten for Jesus and tortured for Christ, like Richard Wurmbrand or somebody, they might be an expert. When they cried out to God and trusted Him through the fire, they might be an expert. But just somebody, because they studied, and they're going to come and tell us this and this and this and this and this, and a lot of them on YouTube too. Don't listen to them unless you know they have a walk with God. If you don't sense them pointing to Christ, if they're just pointing to the minutia, look at the toilet seat. Look at this. Look at that. Are they pointing to Christ? To God be the glory? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So the scriptures, this is our frame of reference. And they all point to Jesus Christ. The scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. He's the point of reference. And if it's not, when you're reading them, maybe you should be crying out to God saying, show me something, Lord. Show me something out of the word. Because I want to come to you. I don't want to just learn a lot or figure stuff out on my own. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal who you are. Hey, listen to that. Hey. That's pretty wild. Echo, 1, 2, 3. I can accentuate my voice. I did that when I was coughing and realized it, but now. So, John 15:26. I shall send you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Bam. The scriptures and the spirit are going to point to Jesus Christ. And they're not going to point to how you can live such a good life. You will live a great life when your heart is receiving his love and living in his forgiveness. Like you'll want to walk with him. But it's from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. And I would just say, if anybody here ever moves, or if you're ever looking for another church, you're listening to the messages. I sat under somebody for like a year, and I listened to the messages. I checked them with the Bible like a good Berean, And I couldn't find anything wrong with them, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Something was missing. Something was missing. He'd preach on love. He'd go through 1 Corinthians and, you know, tear it apart, tell you all about love. The Holy Spirit and love was missing. You know, like, so we need to, if you ever find yourself in that situation, just ask yourself, is this pointing to Jesus? Is this glorifying Jesus? Like, when he talks about the word, is he pointing us to Jesus? Is the Holy Spirit saying, glorify Jesus? Or is it just good works? Jesus came to show us how to live as good people. Or yourselves or others, pointing to yourself or others or things. Which ultimately, if all that's all you're consumed with, it's not glorifying Jesus. And what is the good news? What is the good news? You know, good news that I have a Savior. And he forgives me. He forgave me. And we can think, this is from Pastor Mio, we can think, and this is the last thought, so just hang in there. We can think, he forgave me because he understood that I'm not that bad. But I need a little forgiveness. Or that he gave me another chance, and now that I can be good. We can think that, right? But that's not it. Our message is not that we are better people, or you should try to be a better person. Our message is our identity is in Jesus Christ, and he has forgiven me. That's our message. And that comes from one source, Jesus, the cross, the blood. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We just pray that whatever you've given us this morning that we'll keep, when we're tested on it, we'll keep. Bring it to our memories when we need it. Help us to meditate on your word. Help us to approach the scripture looking for Jesus and being sensitive to what your spirit tells us. If there's anybody here this morning that's never received Jesus as your Savior, you don't know what we're talking about being born again, that he died on the cross to forgive you for your sins. You can receive him now. Just call on the name of the Lord. Receive his forgiveness. He paid for all your sin on the cross. And I just pray that we'll walk this week being conscious of simple things and just how that your love would be fresh in our hearts, in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.